to Fremont this morning. It's so nice to see each and every one of you here. To those who may be guests, welcome. If you'll remember, the last time Pastor Q had me preaching, it was Trinity Sunday. Now it's Baptism of the Lord Sunday. I think she might be trying to challenge me a little bit. But I will say, working my other job in communications now, that I've found the great importance in sourcing my sites. So much of my sermon took inspiration today from a lectionary study called Feasting on the Word. It follows the lectionary, and I found a lot of inspiration in that for this sermon, and a lot of quotes and thoughts were lifted from that mixed with my own. A new student looks out on a sea of strange faces in the high school cafeteria, wondering where he should sit, which group he should join, and how he will be received. A woman walks down the hall in her empty house to look into her daughter's bedroom. The bedroom contains pictures and souvenirs of childhood and high school, left behind when this youngest daughter set off on her first year of college. Now the mother wonders what lies ahead. Not just for her daughter, but for herself, suddenly cut adrift. An older man groans in a sickbed. Retirement from a successful law practice had not been that difficult. But now he has been felled by chronic illness that leaves him lethargic, with nothing to show for his days. He feels worthless. A younger man drives towards his hometown. He has been away for 2 years in a minimum security prison for misappropriating money at work. His time in prison has ended, but he wonders if the true penalty he must bear for his wrongdoing is a lifetime sentence. Who am I? Where do I belong? What makes me worthy? These questions, which come to the forefront in adolescence and young adulthood, never really go away. Whether we ask them explicitly or only subconsciously, we often look for the answers in the wrong places. In our roles, our work, our groups, or our accomplishments and our acquisitions. Ultimately, none of these can deliver what we need. What we need, according to the prophet Isaiah, is to hear how God gives us identity and value. Difficult times in life. Sometimes certain texts scream universal in the way that they grab us. Who among us does not know what it feels like to be overwhelmed or underprepared for life's difficult times? In our text from Isaiah, we find God's own chosen people, the Israelites, this tiny band of women and men standing on the margins of a hostile empire, poised to enslave them once again, ready to return them to a life of servanthood and unhappiness. To this group of people on the verge of extinction under Babylonian domination, a people whose future is in grave doubt and who feel abandoned, to them comes a message from the prophet Isaiah. Now thus says the Lord, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not fear. Assuring words that individuals and churches alike want to hear from God. In the world today, fear hangs in the air. It envelops the far corners of our mind, allows us to begin second-guessing. We come to question ourselves and each other. staking our identity on what is safe, what is allowed in the world. The Israelites understood fear too. Ancient Israel, as a worshiping community and a nation state in exile, knew intimately the force of fear. They knew too, however, that they had been in waters that went over their heads before, and they had been delivered. They had stories of deliverance from fiery furnaces. In fact, a pillar of fire was part of their redemption into wilderness. Now they were called to once again find strength in the Lord's words of assurance and to allow the waters of baptism to wash over them, redeeming them, setting them apart for God. The central verse of this passage from Isaiah is also the center of Isaiah's message. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. The prophet declares a new identity for the people of God, a people who are loved and honored and valued by their Savior. God claims us and holds on to us. We belong to the Lord as sheep to a shepherd. Therefore, we do not need to fear fire and flood. We do not have to gauge our worthiness or whether we belong or not based on how others perceive us. We cannot stake our identity or value on human fabricated standards, which we exhaust ourselves trying to achieve. We have an open invitation to turn to the waters of baptism and embrace the love and redemption that is offered to us by our Savior. Not because we've met some expectation, simply because we are loved and we are precious in God's sight. Well, the book of Isaiah in its entirety is a roller coaster. The words of Isaiah 43 cannot be separated from the angry words of divine disappointment and judgment found in Isaiah 42. Without the text from Isaiah 43, Israel wouldn't know that God's comfort and restoration are greater than Israel's sin and defeat. Despite Israel's sins, God will not allow the waters to overwhelm them. Yet without the reminder of Isaiah 42, Israel might be tempted to believe that divine assurance is the same as divine license, that God's election of Israel is a cause for self-indulgence. In the wrath of Isaiah 42 and the grace of Isaiah 43, faith recognizes the presence of God, who wills only to love and be loved in return. So, who are we? Where do we belong? What makes us worthy? Though our passage in Isaiah speaks directly to the Israelites, it can inform our faith in the modern world as individuals and as communities of faith. The prophet reminds us that our core identity lies not in our roles in society, nor our relative size or wealth as congregations, but in God's identification of us as precious in his sight and honored. Our sense of belonging comes from the one who claimed us and will never let us go. What makes us worthy? God's gracious love. God calls Israel precious in God's sight despite Israel's sins. Therefore, when we fail and fall, as we inevitably will, both as individuals and as congregations, we can take comfort And the realization that our failures do not prompt God to quit loving us or laying claim to us. We are called to trust and hope, as Jesus did, in the God who is with us and will protect us, even in the midst of the floods of chaos caused by our irresponsibility as both individuals and communities. That from Reverend Carter Lester. Now, this passage is paired in the lectionary with Luke's description of the baptism of Jesus. The pairing is harmonious because in the waters of baptism, we understand that the Lord marks us and claims us as his children. In those same waters, God's love is sealed for us, regardless of the mistakes we have made or the ones we may yet make as we strive to live Christian lifestyles. In the waters of baptism, God gives evidence of what God says to Jesus in Luke 3:22. You are my child, the beloved, and with you I am well pleased. As I consider the incredible news of God's loving redemption through the waters of baptism, a hymn often sung at the contemporary service in my childhood church in Pocatello, Idaho, comes to mind. I have asked Scott to put it up here. It's You Are Mine. I'd like for you to take a listen, read the words, make some connections.
I will come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here.
I am hope for all who are hopeless. I am eyes for all who long to see. In the shadows of the night,
come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all of your fear. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know that I'm near. I am hope for those who are hopeless. I am eyes for those who long to see. In the shadows of the night, I'll be your light. Come and rest in me. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I have called you each by name. Come and follow me. I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine. The words found in Isaiah 43:1-7 are easier to read than to hear or believe. This is a passage that we should return to often in times of hardship. as we need to remember our baptisms. Words this good, love this uncommon, takes time to be believed and absorbed. Amen.